Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to get started this morning with a psalm, and it is a great psalm. I go back to a lot of times, a lot of different ways and whatnot, but I think you'll kind of see the importance of it as it relates to our message this morning. Psalm 127, verse 1, it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." It's such a great reminding truth to all of us that, you know, we're not down here doing our own thing. We are down here to hear what the Lord says and to do that. That's really how Jesus lived his life. That was his ministry. He said, "I just say what I hear the Father say. I do what I see the Father do. It's the Father in me that he does the works. Amen. I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of him who sent me." And we are under that same, he was our model in that. And so we have that same heart. We're not down here to do our own thing. We're down here to find out what the head of the church wants us to do. Jesus, who said the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth. So we carry that heart through. We say, "Man, Lord, I just want to walk like you did. You know, I want to walk with a listening ear." Because when the Lord shows you to do something and you know it's God and you do that, there will be an anointing on that. And so that's where, you know, our heart is. And there's another truth I kind of want to join together with this, and this is something the Apostle Paul said. He said in 1 Corinthians 13, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." So we see, as we're down here, we're letting the Lord build the house, we don't know everything. We don't have all knowledge. We don't have all understanding. In fact, the Apostle Paul relates an experience where he was caught up into heaven and he heard things that were unlawful to speak on the earth. So we know in part by design. It's not because, you know, if you would have just studied a little bit more, had a little bit longer devotion time, we're by design only supposed to know certain things in part. There's coming a time when we will know fully, but that's not right now. But we've got some things to work with. There's some things that remain. We've got some, we'll call it building materials, all right? We've got faith, hope, and love. These things remain. These things are for us. These are part of our part that we do know, that we do have. And so that's our heart. We want to build this house, you know, with the things that God has given us, that sure foundation, faith, hope, and love. And so this morning, I just really wanted to kind of give a, kind of almost like a refresh of Door of Life in terms of our heart, who we are, and so you can know, because we've had a lot of people that have just even newly come to Door of Life and have hooked up with us and are joining in the ministry and things, and so I just really wanted to really establish again who we are, the foundation, what we're about, and so that you can know our heart as a church, our heart as a ministry, and I think as you do, it's going to just be able to help you even further know and understand where we're going, what we're doing. You know, one of the things that I have experienced in being, you know, before I was a pastor, I was a very excited, zealous Bible school student guy, and I would, you know, doing all the things I knew to do. Back then, we listened to audio cassette tapes, all right? Not eight tracks, no, I mean... I didn't have any eight-track teaching tapes, praise God. I remember them, but I never had them. So, but, you know, back in the day, you know, you're listening to tapes, you're listening to tape series, and you're just getting into it, and you got your favorite subjects. And, you know, because a lot of times there will be teaching ministries that will focus on different aspects of the Word of God. You know, it could be on faith, it could be on grace, it could be on the supernatural ministering. And so I would have my tape series and listening to them, and,
You know, I'm just really excited and, you know, listening to my pastor. And it's like, you know, kind of waiting for him to catch up to me spiritually because, you know, I think, man, didn't he listen to tape number 3? Oh, my goodness. If he only knew, you know. But one of the things that I had to learn was that when I was going to church, as spiritual as I was, or thought I was, is, you know, a big part of it is your God puts you in a place. He puts you in a church. And you get that witness, and you know, hey, this is where God's put me. And so it's like, I'm going to grow up. I'm going to mature. I'm going to grow up spiritually. And so it's one of those things that I realized, too, that even as you're growing spiritually, you realize that, too, the Bible is a big book. There's a lot in there. And one of the things that I realized, too, is that when I was all excited to, oh, when one day I'm going to pastor, I'm just going to preach this series and then that series and my favorite stuff. But when you get up here, one of the first things that you realize is the view is different from up here than it is from out there. You're looking out across at people from different walks, different spectrums, different places in God, different things they're working through. And all of a sudden, it's not about my favorite pet doctrine or thing that I want to do. It's all about pastoring and caring and oversight of the flock of God. And so, you know, as a pastor on a Sunday morning, as you're preaching and ministering, you'll get in different things. You know, a lot of times the way a pastoral gift will look a lot like the way you read the Bible sometimes. When you read the Bible, sometimes it's just simple teaching. Sometimes it's really exhortative. You know, sometimes it's corrective, sometimes it's compassion, understanding. So when Paul told Timothy, Pastor Timothy, preach the word, a lot of times that pastoral gift, that ministry is going to have those different flavors from Sunday to Sunday. And it's really as the Spirit of God just wants to do different works in different ways, he's going to get across and minister the word of God and whatnot. But it's important to understand that these are the things. No matter what you're preaching, teaching, everything is going to come back to these things that remain. As the Lord's building the house, there's going to be an element of faith, hope, and love in everything that we do, we preach, we teach, we minister. It's going to reconcile back in some way to these things. And as we do it, as we walk out into these different areas of the Word of God, we realize, and sometimes you'll kind of see, and this kind of goes back to my, I was really cut my teeth a lot on that faith, you know, the faith message and different things like that. Sometimes as a church, you can be tempted to pick one. We're not a faith church. We're not a love church. We're not a hope church. We're all three. We draw on all three of these things are so vitally important. These are our spiritual food groups that we need that balance. Faith, Jody had mentioned it, faith works. Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, but we also know that faith works by love. And so there's an interplay between these truths that we can't just isolate them off into their own, but there is such an importance to understand. So as we're looking at Door of Life, and again, just really the message this morning is the Door of Life vision. I just want a fresh casting of our heart, who we are, where we're going as a church, okay? And so where we're going is this. It's faith, hope, and love. So I want to start with first of all, the aspect of love, the love of God. This is really the bedrock foundation of Door of Life. And you'll notice the love of God, it's cutting both ways as a church. It's the love of God for the believer and the unbeliever. You know, we naturally think of the love of God for the unbeliever and preach the gospel. Of course, that's our great commission to go into all the world. But as you're going to grow up spiritually, we got to realize that the love of God for the believer, you know, wasn't just one and done that I believed on the Lord. That love is a continuing revelation. There's a continuing education that we have as believers in Christ when it comes to the love of God. Ephesians 3 says, this is the Apostle Paul, he prayed that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This isn't preaching to the unbeliever to know Jesus. This is preaching to the church to be rooted and grounded in the love you experienced in Christ when you got saved. He's saying there's more. There's a grounding in that love. And one of the big aspects of Door of Life is we want you to be so grounded in the love of God. You know, I try to at least quarterly, you know, preach a simple God loves you message and disguise it in some way. That doesn't exactly say that. But that's the heart of what I want to get across. You never outgrow your need to hear God loves you, ever. It is something that will root you and ground you. It's not just a milky little truth. It is a deep rooting and grounding truth. In fact, when you look at a building, how high you can build up on that building, it's going to be based on the strength of that foundation. Because you can only build as high as that foundational support. And you can only trust God as the foundation of the revelation of his love for you will support as well, too. And so we go through things as, you know, believers. We miss it. We fall. Does God love me? Will he take me back? And yeah, I theologically know he still loves me. But okay, no, here we go. I'm going before the throne of grace. We're getting built up. We're getting strengthened in the love of God. A lot of times you'll see at Door of Life, too, when it comes to communion. You know, we don't just kind of slap on communion and go our way. We take time with communion. Communion is a sacred service. It's a sacred service of remembrance. And what we do when we do communion is we lift up that cup because there's something very powerful about that cup. Yes, it represents the blood of Jesus Christ. And yes, that blood can cleanse from all sin, and it has the power. But that cup also represents what God paid for us. That was the cost. Jesus said, before he went to the cross, he said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But there was no other way. And Peter says, you were redeemed not with gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It is important that we are continually reminded of our value to God. You know, that is what we're worth. Julie and I have mentioned this before. We like to watch the Antiques Roadshow. And we like to guess what things are worth and who guesses the closest. And maybe you've played that game too. But I've thought about that. You know, what is this? If somebody was to appraise you, what's your value that would come up? There's no dollar amount. There's nothing but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That would be your value. That's your value to God. That is your value to God. And we've kind of heard the story sometimes of the prodigal son. He walks out, kind of does his own thing, and he's thinking, you know what? He comes to the end of his rope. If I could just go back and be a servant, that would be great. He goes back, and what is the story? As the father sees him coming, the father runs to him. He puts the ring on his finger, puts the robe on him, kills the fatted calf. They feast. They celebrate. The son was thinking, I'm not even worthy to be called your son. But the son that day got a little bit more rooted and grounded in the father's love that he had for him. But we also know the story goes on to talk about the older brother who was angry and bitter, you know, because he'd done everything right. You know, and the father said, look, my son was lost, your brother was lost, now he's found. Sometimes when you're doing church and you're over here and you've missed it and you've fallen and you're struggling and you're in pain and it's like, does God still love me? Sometimes in real life, as we're trying to get back to God, we run into the older brother before we get to God. And the older brother will tell us what the father thinks. Could you imagine if the prodigal would have run into the older brother before he would have run into his father? He would have never got to the father. You know, if he would have listened to his older brother. He would have said, Dad doesn't want to see you. Dad doesn't want to talk to you. You've blown it. You said you wouldn't do this. You crossed this line. You're past the point of no return. That's why we need to be reminded. God loves you. Be rooted and grounded in that love. We're overcoming, you know. And I can just tell you this, too. If there's things that I've, you know, dealt with in my life and have victory in my life, it's because God stayed with me. God stays with you. In fact, I love the Selah moment that we get in 1 John. It says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. The manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he's revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You know, it's scriptural to stop, pause, and just behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon you. I mean, you can literally have celebrations of grace, personal, where you can rejoice in the love of God and the love of God in your life. There's a rooting and a grounding that takes place when we remember the love that God has for us. And so that is a big theme, the love of God to the believer. Just because you're a believer doesn't mean that God has become your boss and he's your employer and now you're working for him. He's your Father. All right, yeah, we co-laborer together with him because we have the same heart for the kingdom. But he loves you. He's a Father to you. That relationship, that heart, that is foundational in what we preach, teach, and minister. Of course, not only that, but it's the ministry of the love of God to the unbeliever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I'll tell you, that's another great reason you want to get rooted and grounded in the love of God. Because when you're rooted and grounded in the love of God, you believe in your product. And it's easier to sell your product when you believe in your product. I'm kind of being a little facetious when I say that. But I mean, I know where I've been at spiritually at times. When you're beat up and condemned and wondering if God still loves you, it's kind of hard to share the good news. But when you're rooted and you're grounded and you know that he loves you, boy, you can see the things that people are going through. It makes you want to share and give out what you're rooted and grounded, what you know. That's why we need to be rooted and grounded. But we want, and our heart is for the preaching of the gospel. You know, Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. At one point with his disciples, he said, "You will receive power and the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And that's kind of those regions that start close in. Jerusalem's that hometown, and Judea, Samaria kind of spreading out. And here, close at home, that heart, that compassion that we have, just to want to see people get saved, we do several things very specifically, tangibly. We've got our food pantry out there. That's 24/7. And what the exciting thing to me about that food pantry has been, it's really touched people at the point of need, but it's also been a great unifying thing for the county. It's amazing. It's not like just our little food pantry. It's really Door County's food pantry in a lot of ways because of the partnership of churches in this area that have sown into that little food pantry and in people that don't even know the Lord, that just see that heart, that compassion, that outreach. It's just one little tangible way that we do to let people know there's love. God loves you, and to see that connected to a church, to see that association with God and God's love. So there's a tangible, physical way. In fact, the Apostle Paul said that when he went out, you know, he said, remember, you know, to feed people, remember the poor, remember people that are in need. And that's part of the gospel, is being able to show in a tangible way that you care. So that's one thing that we do in that sense. We're also networked with the different churches in the area here on something we call our Bridges program, which for the last couple of years, because of the pandemic, has been pretty well shut down. It's the J1 visa students that'll come in from all over. We've had Europe, China, people from all over that'll come in. And we as churches, we network, and we have these little event and venues that they come on out to, and we get to share the gospel, you know, or give them the Bible in their language. Door of Life, we host the annual talent show. So we've had a lot of talent acts up here from people all over the world. It's amazing. We get the flags that'll do the whole perimeter of the church, or the sanctuary here, and they'll all come up and sing their national anthem and do different things like that. I get a chance to share my testimony. Just a great one way that we're able to, you know, communicate. That's a great corporate program that we do with other churches in the area. We have a VBS program as well, too, usually in the summer, which hopefully all this will be starting back up again here next year, where we come together, we get the kids together, we have that VBS week, and we give them a chance to receive Christ, to receive Jesus. Those are, you know, just a couple little outreach. We've brought in Bob Lenz a few years back, who came to Gibraltar, and, you know, he'll, in the, you know, afternoon, he'll kind of give his, kind of a kind of a speech on, you know, not bullying and, you know, that kind of the motivational kind of speaking for the kids. But then in the evening, he'll share his testimony. And we had, I think we had about like 75 people that made decisions when he came in. So sometimes there's that event evangelism, you know, things like that. But also, we're really continuing to look for new ways to expand that. We'll be talking about a little bit later when Pastor Michael talk about the new Grief Share program that we've got. Another great opportunity to comfort people, to also be an outreach in the community to let people know about the love of God and Jesus Christ. So we've got some real practical, tangible programs that we're doing. We've got our new little card and flyer brochure. Encourage you to hand those out. So we're going to continue to expand in that, but that is our heart, to let people know. That's our Jerusalem. We've kind of found out that our Samaria, as we kind of go out from there, has really turned out to be, and Dave was referring to it in worship, the internet. It's been amazing to see people from all over the country that right now tune in to the Door of Life broadcast. And so it's been a great vehicle to be able to reach beyond where we are right here in the Door County area. So if you're watching, you know, the service online, we are excited to have you and welcome you as part of the service today. And we just trust that God's going to continue to speak, you know, through these messages. And we just believe that there's going to be tremendous outreach too. But finally, the uttermost parts of the world, we have a robust missions program. Mona heads that up, Mona Christensen, where we really target, you know, several areas of outreach, and that's Myanmar, which is in great, you know, civil unrest right now with things that are going on there, the Andaman Islands, also Nepal. So these are some very concrete ways that we are intentional about getting that love overseas, you know, to the uttermost parts of the world, and we'll have a regular missions updates. Ramona will come and share and minister her heart. But when you're seeing all that, that's part of this. That's the love piece. That's the growing in love. It is giving that love out. And so that's our heart. That's what we're about at Door of Life. The other aspect then, too, is faith. Overcoming faith, learning to walk in victory. So this is where we begin to grow up spiritually as well, too. The scripture says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So faith is a big deal, all right? Not because, you know, certain people or ministries. God has made faith a big deal in his word. And it's important to see it. You know, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Here's the greatest faith preacher of all time right here. So Jesus answered and said unto them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them." Faith is just the way we engage God. We pray by faith. We do what his word says by faith. And it's interesting to see, you know, Jesus actually one time remarked, he kind of told the story of a widow who is tenacious in going before this unjust judge, and she just wouldn't give up until she got a just decision. And the Lord said, "Man, consider that widow." He said, "How much more will the Lord be responsive? Pray, don't give up." But he then asks, he kind of concludes with a question that he asks the earth. It's like Jesus is asking. He says, "When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth?" Faith remains. Faith didn't pass away in a dispensation. Faith remains. It is here. That means mountains still are moved today. That means we still declare things. We still pray things. We still pray boldly from our spirit. And that's what we're training. That's what we're learning to do at Door of Life, to grow in that, to realize that is part of our call. We're called to walk by faith. And it's one of those things that when you push past your emotions and your feeling and the way you've done things, and you just begin to, by faith, declare things, and your spirit goes, "Oh, yeah, that's good. That's right. That is true. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He does make me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me into paths of righteousness. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you're with me." There is something about declaring that word, and that's part of what we're doing. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." There's a quickening. There's an awakening. There's faith in the word. It's not blind faith. It's not, you know, throwing up a prayer faith. It's faith in the Word of God. It's a deliberate, precise faith. And the Scripture tells us in Galatians, it says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you do not do the things that you wish. And a big part of, again, walking in victory is learning to go and to walk in the Spirit, choosing the Spirit, choosing the Spirit. And a lot of these messages that you hear at Door of Life, there is messages on knowing who you are in Christ, walking in the Spirit, the authority of the Word of God, renewing your mind, you know, your authority over Satan that God has given you, the power of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you. What is that? These are messages that we're walking in the Spirit. We're on purpose, breaking from the way that we've done things to the way God wants us to do things. And this is kind of where faith meets real life, as all the stuff we're talking about. 2 Peter, it says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for a godly life. We've received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. As a result of this, he's given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, look at that, you can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are in the world. So what are we kind of saying this in a nutshell? This is the Bible talking about the power of these promises of God. We take our life situations and we take the Word of God, and we begin to see where faith meets real life. We begin to see what the Word of God says. Yeah, there are strongholds, but we've got weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to pull down strongholds, to cast down imaginations. And so we're going back to the Word of God. You know, when it comes to the Word of God, I'm just kind of say this too, in faith and overcoming. When I first, you know, got saved, that reality of the Bible being the Word of God is something that just grows in you. It is something you come back to, that these words are living, they're alive. When I speak these words, there's life in these words. This book is like no other book. This is the book that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And there is something about coming back to these words. Jesus said again, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the powerful thing to think about when Jesus said that, when he did that, he was quoting the written Word of God. He said, it is written. That means God successfully inspired sinful man to write down his word. He sovereignly kept it to where God, Jesus, could lift up that written word and say, it is written. And so that's where we find at Door of Life, we realize we have that same authority to declare the promises of God, to declare what he's done in us, what he's done for us. And so that is going to be kind of a main element that you'll see comes through the messages often. Then finally, is what we call a hope and a future. It's hope, all right, to find and fulfill God's plan. We're not only saved, you know, we're not only, you know, a child of God, knowing that God loves us, but we're saved for a purpose. God has a plan for our life, a very specific one. He said, the body's not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it not of the body? The ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each of them, in the body just as it has pleased him. This is another reason why we're here. We are here to help you find out what that is. Find what God has called you to do. And that's not going to be the same thing for the rest of your life. That'll take on seasons. There's seasons of life. The scripture says, we're his workmanship created in Christ for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Listen to this. For we are God's own handiwork, recreated in Christ Jesus, that we may do the good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. This is a powerful truth, and this is a big part of why we're here. When we're talking about the vision of Door of Life, that vision that we have for Door of Life is in your hearts. It's what God is calling you to do. That's my job as a pastor. My job as a pastor is to help you in your walk with the Lord to find out what he's doing in you, to help you find out what he's calling you to do. You know, I have a saying at Door of Life that we've said for years and years, I'm your pastor, not your master, okay? Amen. I'm not your Lord. You have one Lord, one faith, and your pastor is not your Lord. the pastor takes oversight of the flock of God, you know, in terms of an administrative oversight of a local church and whatnot, a body. But you only have one Lord, Jesus Christ. And it's important for you to realize that my job here as an under-shepherd is to help cultivate your relationship with the chief shepherd, to find out what he's doing on the inside of you. And as he's doing that, you find this, he's working in you, giving you a desire and power to do what pleases him. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire, both the will and to do, to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. In other words, God is doing something in you. He's working something in you. You're a part of this body. He's placed you in the body, and he's given you desires. A lot of times, one of the things that I've said is that one of the ways that you can really tell where you have some giftings is take inventory, take note of the things you have patience for. What are the things that you can just stick with? When other people would kind of get bored and want to go on to something else, but you want to stay with it until it's done, you have that diligence, you have a patience for something to do that, pay attention to that. That could be a good sign that there's a grace also on your life to do different things along those lines. And when you're talking about learning and discerning the plan that God has for your life, there's going to be a few things that you're going to be listening for. One of the things is repetition. God is going to keep bringing it back up. He'll keep bringing it back up. It might be years, but he'll keep bringing it back up. He won't give up. It's like a Holy Spirit nagging that you can't get away from. And it's a good thing because he won't, you know, he's going to keep showing you that thing. So there's repetition, but there's also peace. And there's something about going in that direction. You're going to have a peace about taking the next step. You know, it might not for sure be what God wants you to do, but you have peace about taking the next step to find out if it is. You know, the Apostle Paul functioned that way. When you look at the book of Acts, in his second missionary journey, he thought, man, let's go to Bithynia to preach the gospel. He was going there, and the Spirit forbade him. You know, what if he would have just said, hey, I'm going to go anyway, because Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The book of Acts might have ended right there for the Apostle Paul. Who knows? But he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He said, nope, okay, go to Asia Minor, guys. That's the one. Spirit forbade him. And then finally, the scripture said he had a vision of a guy in Macedonia. That's the place to go. And as you're learning to be led by the Spirit of God, he'll give you permission to go in a direction to confirm it one way or the other. And that's kind of how the way he'll lead you, and that's okay. We're not down here, there's red lights and there's green lights, you know, and your life isn't just going to be a bunch of green lights. Those red lights are there to protect you from things. So you stop at those red lights, and that's what the Apostle Paul did. He stopped at the red light, and then he went. And that's a big part, is you're finding God's plan for your life, is learning how to be led by the Holy Spirit, listening to those clues in your own heart of what you have desire for, what you have patience, what you want to pursue, and listening for that peace, you know, and that repetition. It keeps coming back. You know, it keeps coming back to your heart. And then there's usually going to be some revelation. There'll be some purpose that God will show you why this is significant, how it's going to bless you, how it's going to bless other people. And so God has that part of it. Romans 8, 14 through 16, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received a spirit of adoption by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. That spirit that bears witness that you're a child of God, that's the spirit that's going to bear witness whether you take that next step, whether you go here, whether you check that out. Same spirit, you know. And it's such a big thing to realize, too, when it comes to the vision of Door of Life Christian Church, we just want you to do whatever that is. This church is not about trying to make this church look good, all right? In other words, I kind of remember a paradigm where you'd have a bunch of church programs and you'd have to do a specific church program in order to kind of show that's what God's called me to do. Praise God for church programs. We have them. We're going to have more, and we believe that God's going to hook many people up to them, and you're going to find your purpose in those things. But your purpose could be outside a church program. It could be a business that you're going to start somewhere. It could be people that you're going to help, different things that you're going to do. It doesn't have to be Door of Life. It doesn't have to be. It's pursuing what God has called you to do. And that's our vision. Our vision is not in buildings. It's not in you know, I don't have a 5-year plan of where we need to be in terms of building and people. Our plan is that we're going to continue to build this church. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. And a lot of the things that you see that are going on in terms of the expression in this church, it's people that have come, like Pastor Mike. He's going to talk to us in a little bit about that grief share program. People that come from the body that have a desire. You know, Jody and David have had some different things with programs and things that they've done. I think of Heidi in the food pantry and just different aspects that we've had. People where they've got something on their heart, and it's not like I'm trying to do a bunch of things. They're finding what God is working in them to willing to do, and praise God. Then there's growth that's coming from that, and there's an anointing on that, and there's already an energy for that. And so praise God, a big part of what I'm doing even as a pastor is I'm helping to facilitate that growth that's within the body. That's better than serving a structure that I make 5 years ahead of time and say, we got to meet that. Not at all. We're growing. When that growth is by the Spirit of God, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. We're excited for what God has in your heart. We're excited if there's some way that it integrates with the Door of Life, great. But if it doesn't, that's great too. It doesn't have to. That's what I'm saying. Be free to follow whatever God has put in your heart, what he's called you to do. That's our heart at Door of Life. And there's also this underlying element of fellowship. You know, we're the body of Christ. We need each other. We need to come together. It's good to meet together, whether you're meeting online, whether you're meeting in person. It is huge. You know, I've found that it's easy. You know, I kind of say this tongue in cheek, but it seems like the more people stay away from church, the more spiritual they become. And by that I mean is it's easy to get, you know, critical and jaded and, you know, just those people at church and whatnot. And I'm kind of, but really, we're all in the same boat. We're all growing. We're all stronger and weaker in different areas, and we can encourage each other. The Bible says we got to be knit together. We got to hold on to that body to be able to speak into other people's lives, have people speak into our lives. There's something about just worshiping God on a Sunday morning that just helps get your mind on things above corporately. Jesus said, where two or more are gathered, I will be in their midst. And there is a special, we have him in our hearts all the time. But when you experience that corporate anointing of him being in your midst, that's something that's very special. That you'd be able to enjoy and that you get at church, especially Jesus, or the Hebrew writer said, you know, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves, especially as you see the day approaching. We need each other. We need to be encouraged by each other and to be built up. So, you know, I just want you to know that our heart here at Door of Life is really that. It's threefold. We want you to know the love of God. We want you to grow in the love of God, to be established. You know, that no matter what you've done, no matter how prodigal, sonish you may feel, you're loved. God loves you. You know, if you have a spell where you're, you know, you've been out of church, just come back. Don't worry about it. You know, we're not going to judge you. We're not going to, you know, we're going to love you. You know, we're here and you need to know that this, we want so much in this, the atmosphere of this church to be that love of God, you know, because we've all missed it. We've all fallen short. The only reason that we're here, you know, in fellowship with God is because God stayed with us. And we know that firsthand. And so as the body of Christ, we stay with each other as well, too. So we know that for the believer, also for the unbeliever to reach out. We're going to grow in this. We're going to continue to get stronger in our outreach. That's really my heart as well, too, that we're going to find more and more ways to reach out in our Jerusalem right here with the good news and let people know that God loves them. Also, that overcoming faith, learning to walk in victory, that is our heart. Walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, when the Apostle Paul said, the works of the flesh, he mentioned like 17 things that can trip you up. He just said, you can beat them all by one thing. Walk in the Spirit. We get together. We know how that is. When the enemy is warring against your mind, you got those roars, and it's like, oh, man. He says, you can't do the things that you would. You know, there feels like there's two yous there. You're at odds. You're at fighting with yourself. There is some amazing power and comfort in the Holy Spirit when we can all come together and begin to understand and cheer each other on in those battles, in those wars that are going on in our hearts and our minds, and encourage each other. Yes, you're going to choose the Spirit. You need somebody to pray with? Let me know. I'm here because we need each other. You know, we're the visiting team down here in case you haven't realized it yet. You know? And we need to be able to come and encourage each other. Because when you score that touchdown, you know, the news broadcast isn't going to report it, all right, that somebody got saved. But boy, we'll jump up and down in here. And the angels are jumping up and down as well, too, in front of their television sets as they're watching the game down here. But we need each other. We need that fellowship, that faith, and just to know that you got a future, you got a hope. Man, God does have amazing things. You see, he puts you in the body according as it pleased him. The God who makes every snowflake different and unique has made each of us different and unique, and it's not some Barney, you are special thing. It is a God thing. It is a God thing, and there's just, you know, when you just experience the presence of God, that's just amazing. But when you experience in the sense that he loves you in his presence and he's got something for you, boy, that is just multiplied. Lord, here am I, send me. What do you want me to do, Lord? I want to do what you've called me to do, to find and fulfill God's plan for your life. We're here not, again, pastor, not your master. I can't lord over you. And let me just say this, whether God calls you to Door of Life for a week, a month, a year, 5 years, 10 years, or if you're a door of, if you're a lifer, if you're in for life, all right? We love you all the same, all right? Because we know how God can use a church sometimes to kind of stir things up and set you on and go things. We're here to help facilitate whatever God wants to do and however God wants to use Door of Life in your life. So we just want you to know that we love you. That's our heart. That's kind of where we're coming from. You come into a service, there's music, there's fellowship, there's the Word of God, scriptures all over the place. You know, it's the Word of God. We're preaching the Word. And that's who we are. That's how we roll. We fellowship, and we're on our way to go out into life with a fresh, you know, strengthening of the Spirit. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for just putting in our hearts just a blueprint of those things that remain, faith, hope, and love. And I just pray too, Father, as we're just continuing to do what you've called us to do as Door of Life here in Door County. We're just honored that you allow us the opportunity to minister your word. And I just thank you so much for every precious heart, Lord, that feels that call to just come alongside, to be a part of this work for this season. And we thank you for it, Father. We just pray, I pray, Father, for each one here, that you will just minister to them, that you'll bless them, that you'll strengthen them, that they will each one just get everything that you have for them, that they will know that they're loved by you. I pray that their revelation of your love for them will grow, Father, that it'll just continue to be rooting and grounding in them, Father. The one thing that no one can ever take away from them is the deep understanding of your unfailing love. Even when we're faithless, you remain faithful because you can't deny yourself. You loved us before, while we were sinners. Oh, Lord, we thank you how much, and behold the manner of love that you've loved us, Lord. You are a good Father. We love you, Father. Help us to take this love, to share it, to minister it to Door County, Father, to this country, to the ends of the earth, Lord. Help us, show us how to just further increase that outflow of good news, the gospel. Lord, you didn't send your son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And you haven't sent your church into the world to condemn the world, but the world through the church, through the hearing of the good news of your love might be saved, Father God. We pray that word would go forth through Door of Life. And we just pray too, Father, that you'll just continue to help us to know and give us that hope and a future that there's good works you've ordained us to walk. And I just speak that over each one here this morning, each one who's tuned in through the broadcast. We just pray, Father, that you'll just continue to stir up those things, that purpose, Lord, that purpose that's bigger than the roaring lion, the purpose that's bigger than the weights of sin that so easily beset us, the purpose of those things that distract us. There is purpose that you've got for us. And I pray, Father God, just the revelation of the hope of your calling would just flow in each heart here, Lord, that there would just be a sense of destiny and call that's true in your word that you've given to each one of us that would be bigger than anything that's trying to distract us, that we're laying aside those weights and the sins because we got a race to run. We see what we're called to do. Father, I just pray that you'll just quicken, awaken in every heart, Father, just that sense of purpose. We just thank you for it, Lord. We just thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to continue to do. And we just pray, Father, that your blessings will just continue to go forth in this church. And Lord, our heart and our declaration before you is, unless you build this church, we labor in vain. And our heart, Lord, is to let you build, to let you do what you want to do, Father God. And we just will give you all the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. It's been a while since I've done that. And I've just realized we've got a lot of fresh, new people that are hooking up in our heart to go forward at Door of Life. And just wanted you to know that's our heart. You know, praise God. Like we'll say at the beginning, word of faith, you know, spirit, charismatic type church. We do believe. We do flow in the gifts of the Spirit. All that. That's all part of that work that we believe in and whatnot. But it's all for these things, faith, hope, and love. You know, he said you can have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, all knowledge, but if you don't have love, it's nothing. You know, so those gifts serve that broader vision that God has given us in faith, hope, and love. And to just know that, to know that that is our heart. Praise God.